remembering the life and legacy of the first woman to ever serve as Bloomington's mayor.
You just had to like Judy. She was a very likable person. Easy to get along with. She could be stubborn when she made up her mind on something, but who can't?
That's former Normal Mayor Paul Harmon. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Wednesday, February 17th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with a remembrance of former Bloomington Mayor Judy Markowitz, who died recently at the age of 82. Eric Stock has the story.
Judy Markowitz was the first of many things, including Bloomington's first woman mayor and first Jewish mayor. Decades before that, Markowitz was the first person from Bloomington Normal to represent the Sister Cities program at Asahikawa, Japan in 1962. She recalled the trip with WGLT's Charlie Schlenker in this 2012 interview.
They treated me like royalty. Here I was, this redheaded 24-year-old. I'm very outgoing, and so embrace them just like they embrace me.
And nearly 60 years later, the Sister Cities Foreign Exchange Program is still going strong. Markowitz's legacy in Bloomington will likely be tied to two downtown projects, the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and the city's downtown arena. In 2001, the city approved a quarter-cent sales tax to pay for renovations to the former Scottish Rite Temple so it could host concerts, plays, and other cultural events. Mayor Terry Renner says Markowitz showed gumption and leadership to make the BCPA reality.
In order to get a specific revenue stream that was dedicated to the BCPA, she had obviously to work that very hard and make the case that this wasn't just an amenity for the city. It wasn't just something that we would have to give to future generations.
In 2003, Markowitz cast the tie-breaking vote to build what would become U.S. Cellular Coliseum, now known as Grossinger Motors Arena. The arena brought minor league hockey, basketball, and indoor football to the city, but the arena never became the money generator city leaders had promised. Former Bloomington City Council member Jim Fruin never supported the arena. Still, he says Markowitz's legacy goes far beyond that one vote.
I think unfairly people will think of that, you know, as one of the key issues during Judy's tenure, but I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that she was a dedicated servant, dedicated to the public, very accessible.
Markowitz battled health issues later in life. Mayor Terry Renner says dementia stole a remarkable memory of people and places that Markowitz would use to share stories with her unique personal touch. I'm Eric Stott.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. State officials have been notified that winter weather across much of the U.S. is causing delays in the delivery of COVID vaccine shipments. Ameren, Illinois is asking customers to voluntarily reduce electricity usage until further notice. It comes as that severe weather strains utility systems in the Midwest and the South. And the Normal Fire Department says the fire at the Sugar Creek Apartments on Saturday was caused by repair work being done inside a lower-level unit. More on all those stories at WGLT.org. In his first weeks in office, President Biden has rolled back multiple federal policies that negatively affected LGBTQ+ people under former President Trump. But in Illinois, policy advocates say there are still more battles to be fought. Christine Hatfield explains.
Mike Zieri is the Director of Public Policy with Equality Illinois. He's been with the group since 2015, just after same-sex marriage became legal nationwide. He says some legislators and advocates at the time asked him what was left to fight for. His answer? A lot.
No way were we done in 2015, and in no way are we done in 2021.
Illinois has continued to pass LGBTQ+ affirming legislation since. In 2019, for example, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a bill requiring public schools to teach LGBTQ+ history. And two LGBTQ+ bills have already been introduced in this year's General Assembly session. One bill would make it easier for transgender and intersex people to change the gender on their birth certificate. The current law requires a statement from a healthcare professional. The version proposed in the State House right now would remove that requirement altogether. Lars Avis, a trans man who's the secretary for Peoria Proud, says the bill would have made his transition easier. He says the bill is a matter of safety, especially for people who haven't been able to get their gender marker changed.
That could be concerning if you're applying to jobs you don't necessarily want to out yourself just by applying to a job.
Ghirlandi Guidetti, an attorney with ACLU Illinois, says the bill is a high priority for the group.
A lot of what we want to do in this space is eliminate those barriers, make it easier for people to obtain the documents that they need to live their lives authentically.
Avis says the bill makes the process more inclusive and accessible.
I don't think there needs to be any prerequisites like that, just you saying, yes, this is me, and this is what I want my birth certificate to be changed to.
Democratic lawmakers in the State House and Senate also reintroduced the REACH Act this month. It would require age-appropriate sex education in Illinois public schools. The bill calls for instruction that's inclusive of, quote, people of diverse sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Mike Zieri says the bill's been a top priority since last year's session.
In Illinois, only 10% of LGBTQ students receive any kind of LGBTQ inclusive sex ed. And we want to change that.
And Avis says he thinks everyone should be able to have a chance to learn about those topics in a classroom setting.
We were never really taught about what it means to be LGBTQ. I mainly learned that from my friends and people I knew in the community itself.
Meanwhile, the General Assembly's horizons continue to expand. The state Senate welcomed its first openly gay member when Michael Simmons was sworn in earlier this month to replace Heather Staines. State Representative Kelly Cassidy was also in the running for that state Senate seat. She's also a part of the General Assembly's LGBTQ plus caucus. She says while that group has become fairly representative, outreach is still a vital part of their work.
We have to always be reaching out and making sure that beyond our district to our larger queer community statewide, that we are not just representing our districts, but all of the folks who look to us statewide to make sure that we're hearing their voices.
I'm Christine Hatfield.
Before we let you go, the League of Women Voters of McLean County will host a Zoom tonight at 7, focused on its study of court fines and fees and their impact on justice. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.